Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. You are listening to the Revolution Health Radio Show. I'm your host, Steve Wright, co-author at scdlifestyle.com. This episode of the RHR podcast is brought to you by 14.4.me. This is a 14-day healthy lifestyle reset program. So Chris has put together a really simple step-by-step hand-holding program for those of you who are still struggling with sleep issues, weight issues, gut issues, basically any health issues, because the 14.4.me program addresses your food, your sleep, your movement, and your stress, all foundational principles for living a long, healthy life and overcoming any sort of chronic conditions you're still dealing with. So if you're having problems implementing these in your life, please check out 14.4.me. It might be the program for you. With me is integrative medical practitioner, healthy skeptic, and New York Times bestselling author, Chris Gresser. Chris, how you doing?
Pretty well. How are you, Steve?
I'm catching up on some sleep, but I'm doing well.
All right. Yeah, I heard you've been out partying hard at Garth Brooks concerts.
I can't say I haven't been. It's been good to put on the Stetson, the cowboy boots, and sing some Friends in Low Places.
That's pretty awesome. I have to remember you're Midwest, born and raised, right?
Yeah, coming from the rural backwoods of Michigan. Not really that backwoods, but I got the country gene.
good times. All right, so we have a great question this week. It's one that it was actually hard for me to believe that I'd never covered it. I've talked about it on so many different podcasts and then blog articles and stuff, but I realized when we got this question that I had never actually covered this topic in one distinct podcast. So here we go.
Hi, Chris. My name is Larry Leibowitz. I'm an integrative/functional family physician in Connecticut. I've become an avid listener to your podcast, and I find a lot of the material to be extremely useful and very helpful for my practice. As you can imagine, I see a lot of patients with chronic inflammatory conditions. Many of them are autoimmune in nature. And recently, I've been considering the use of low-dose naltrexone with my patients. I'd be very interested in hearing about your experiences with the medication, some of the successes and or failures, and in which cases you find it to be the most useful. Thanks. Take care.
All right. So, this is... Like I said, it's something we've talked about here and there, and it can be really useful for people with autoimmune conditions. I think a lot of folks have heard of it by now, but I wanted to just take the chance to give a little bit of background, explain how LDN, low-dose naltrexone, works, what kind of conditions it's been studied in and might be effective for, and we'll talk about some pros and cons and you know, things to keep in mind if you take it and how you might find a doctor that you can work with to take it. All right. So, as the name implies, low dose naltrexone is a low dose of a medication called naltrexone that was originally approved back in the 80s at a higher dose, 50 milligrams, for the purpose of helping opiate and heroin addicts to get off those drugs. And it works by blocking the reception of opiate hormones. If you're on 50 milligram dose, you could take any kind of opiate drug and not get high. But the problem was that in addition to not getting high when taking these opiates, who were taking 50 milligrams of naltrexone didn't feel any pleasure at all, because the opiate receptors in our brain mediate our experience of pleasure. So at full dose, naltrexone really reduced that experience of pleasure and therefore wasn't, you know, a very sustainable or effective drug. But around that time in the mid 80s, there was a doctor in New York named Dr. Bihari who was interested in treating cancer and AIDS, which was just becoming, you know, something that people were starting to focus on more at that point, of course. And he discovered that a low dose between 3 and 4.5 milligrams of naltrexone had beneficial effects on the immune system. And since then, LDN has been used for autoimmune disease, cancer, and other conditions that involve immune dysregulation. So this is important to understand if you're going to talk to your doctor about naltrexone or LDN, because a lot of doctors might be familiar with naltrexone that was used for this purpose and might, you know, raise their eyebrows or not be familiar with the fact that a lower dose is used for a completely different purpose. You know, the higher dose is about blocking opioid receptors and detox, you know, getting people off drugs, whereas the low dose is being used now for balancing and regulating the immune system. So, you know, important to make that distinction. So, you know, without getting too geeky here, I want to tell you a little bit about how LDN works, because it's interesting, and it, of course, helps to understand, you know, how it might benefit you if you have an immune-related condition. And this is ongoing, you know, so there are new papers published about the mechanisms of LDN each year, and we're still learning about this. But so far, there's two main mechanisms that have been identified. One is that, as I said, it regulates the immune system. And it does this primarily by promoting T regulatory cell function. So the T regulatory cells, or Tregs, they keep the immune system in balance, and they turn inflammation on and off depending on what's needed. And they prevent the immune system from getting stuck in patients with overactive immune systems, like people with allergies or asthma or autoimmune conditions. And the way this works is LDN, as I mentioned, it temporarily blockades the opioid receptors in the brain. And when the receptors are blocked, the body thinks more opioids are needed. And so it produces more. And by the time more opioids are produced, LDN is out of the system. The receptors are unblocked and can receive those. And that leads to essentially a net increase in opiate production. So if you're wondering now, like, what does this have to do with the immune system? We now know that people with autoimmune disease often have low levels of these opiates, and that white blood cells, which of course are what are driving the immune response, have receptors for these opiates, which of course suggests that they play a really important role in the immune system. So that's number one, that, you know, this immune regulating balancing mechanism.
So the increase in opiates actually then cause a corresponding increase in Treg cells. Is that the point you're making there?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. And then the Treg cells are the ones that, I mean, they've been referred to as like the police force of the immune system. I'm not sure that's the best analogy these days, given, you know, what's been happening. But the idea is that they balance and regulate the immune system and keep both sides in check. But there's another mechanism that's been a little more recently discovered, which is that LDN reduces inflammation in the central nervous system. And the significance of this is that inflammation in the central nervous system is thought to play a role in a number of different conditions that LDN has been shown to be effective for, like fibromyalgia and chronic pain and depression. So, you know, in addition to blocking the opioid receptors, LDN blocks something called toll-like receptor 4 that's found on white blood cells that are called microglia. And the microglia are central nervous system immune cells that produce inflammation, pain sensitivity, fatigue, sleeplessness, mood disorders, and cognitive problems. And when those microglia are chronically activated, as they are in fibromyalgia and other pain disorders, it results in neurotoxicity, and then, you know, this whole wide cascade of symptoms that are associated with all of these conditions. And LDN essentially blocks that cascade by blocking the receptors on those microglia cells. And this probably explains why in some of the studies so far, LDN has been shown to reduce the something called erythrocyte sedimentation rate, or ESR, which is an inflammatory marker that's elevated in conditions like fibromyalgia. So again, to recap, there's two basic mechanisms, balancing and regulating the immune system, and then reducing central nervous system inflammation. There probably are other mechanisms, but those are the ones that have been the most clearly defined so far.
Chris, is there any way for people to test their opiate levels to know if they might be low, and LDN would be an ideal?
Yeah, not that I'm aware of. There are some tests that can look at immune, you know, various kinds of immune cells and the balance between those immune cells, but they're not widely available. and they're a little bit difficult to interpret. So it's not something that I think is that useful for the, you know, the average person or ready for prime time. I think with LDN, the best way to determine if you have it, or if you'll benefit from it, rather, is whether you have the conditions that are shown to be useful for, or any other kind of immune-related condition, and then just doing a therapeutic trial. But we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. Okay, so what conditions is LDN effective for? And there's actually two ways to answer this question. The first is what the scientific literature shows, and then the second is what clinical and anecdotal experience of clinicians that are working with LDN shows. And those are, you know, I think the research so far is there's definitely research out there on LDN, but it's still somewhat limited. And I think clinical and anecdotal experience is further ahead in terms of the breadth of conditions that LDN is being used for, and the experience, you know, of how effective it can be for those conditions. The studies are also still, you know, usually relatively small sample size, not always randomized, not always double blinded. Part of the reason for this, they're probably not that well funded, because low-dose naltrexone is off patent. And that means that drug companies are not, you know, don't stand to make a killing on selling LDN. And, you know, it's unlikely that a whole lot of money is going to be put into it for that reason. Having said that, the results so far of the studies on LDN have been really encouraging. And they've been primarily in on cancer, multiple sclerosis, Crohn's disease, fibromyalgia, and autism. It's especially effective for Crohn's, with over a 70% remission rate and even complete mucosal healing, as evidenced by colonoscopy in some cases. And if you know about Crohn's disease and how nasty it can be and how difficult to treat and how poor the success rates are of the typical treatments, that's a pretty remarkable statistic, over 70% remission rate with mucosal healing, especially when you consider the fact that there were no documented side effects of LDN in that study compared to placebo. So that's what's in the scientific literature, but anecdotally, clinicians are using it for a whole wide range of conditions involving inflammation and immune dysregulation. So autoimmune diseases like Hashimoto's and Graves, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, psoriasis, chronic fatigue syndrome, neurodegenerative disorders like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. It's being extensively used for infertility. There's a clinic in the United Kingdom that is basically, you know, almost entirely focused on using LDN for fertility to, you know, treat patients who are struggling with that. And the reason it's effective for such a broad range of conditions is because of the mechanism of action. As I said, it regulates and balances the immune system and reduces inflammation. And of course, we know that inflammation and immune dysregulation are at the root of many diseases, and certainly at the root of autoimmune conditions. So, you know, even though there aren't any studies of LDN on Hashimoto's, for example, it makes sense that it would work for Hashimoto's if it's working for multiple sclerosis and Crohn's disease, because the underlying mechanism of all of those conditions is, you know, immune dysregulation, autoimmunity. So that's why a lot of clinicians out there feel justified and safe in using LDN for conditions that it hasn't directly been studied on, because A, the mechanism makes sense, and B, it's safe and well tolerated and doesn't have any significant complications or risks or even side effects in many of these studies. So, you know, some of the advantages of LDN as a therapy is that it's low cost. It's off patent, as I said, which means typically you can get it for about $35, $40 a month from a compounding pharmacy. The side effects are pretty minimal. In some of the double-blind placebo-controlled trials, as I said, there was no difference in side effect between placebo and the treatment group. But I will say that in our experience, what we've seen in our clinic and other clinicians I know that work with it, there are some side effects that are fairly common, which is temporary sleep disturbance when the patient first starts taking it, or vivid dreams and a mild headache. But these usually pass pretty quickly and can often be mitigated by starting with a lower dose So if 3 or 4.5 milligrams is the ultimate dose that they end up on, starting at like 1.25 milligrams or something, and then building up more slowly. LDN does not have any known abuse potential. It's not an addictive medication. And, you know, one of my hesitations or criticisms of a lot of drugs is that they just primarily work by suppressing symptoms, and they don't necessarily improve the function of the body. But LDN is a little different in that respect, in that it works by improving the function. It increases the production of T regulatory cells, which then have that immune balancing effect, and I think makes it a little bit safer to use over the long term. Now, of course, if you can achieve results and address your autoimmune condition without using a medication, even one as safe as LDN, then that's great. But my rubric for a treatment, you know, whether a treatment makes sense, has always been whatever is the most effective and causes the least amount of harm. And the vast, you know, in many cases, that's not a drug, but LDN is actually one medication that I think passes that test. So some of the disadvantages of LDN is that one would be that there's still no standardized dose, and really the patient just has to kind of figure it, and the physician, prescribing physician, just kind of have to figure it out through trial and error. And you know, from our experience, we've seen most people end up around 2.5 to 3 milligrams. 4.5 tends to be too much for people. I've seen some patients settle on as little as 1.25 or 1.5. But anywhere in the 1.25 to 4.5 milligram range could be the optimal dose for a given person. We still need more research. I mentioned that the research we have already is somewhat limited, so we need more research. It's not always easy to get a prescription. A lot of primary care doctors aren't familiar with it. It's not covered by insurance, so it's completely off label. But fortunately, it's pretty cheap. You know, even if people are paying out of pockets, only about $35-40 bucks a month. And we don't have any, although all the studies we have so far show that it's safe, we don't have any hard data on really long-term safety. You know, people have been taking LDN for 10 years or something like that. Of course, that's true for a lot of drugs, but I'm just pointing that out. So if you're interested in LDN, keep in mind it has to be prescribed by a physician, or in some states, a naturopath can prescribe it. You can print out some studies from PubMed. You can go into pubmed.org and search for low-dose naltrexone, and there's a bunch of studies that will pop out. You can print those out and take them to your doctor to discuss. There's a website called ldninfo.org that has kind of a clearinghouse of information on LDN that you can go to. There's a Yahoo group about LDN that you can join and, you know, talk to folks there and try to find a practitioner in your area. What I don't recommend is ordering it from overseas pharmacies. You know, you never know what you're getting that way. And there have been a lot of studies showing that drugs that come from those pharmacies are not often what they claim to be. And it's just flat out dangerous and not very smart. So, hopefully that goes without saying, but I'm just mentioning anyways. And particularly with LDN, it should be obtained from a reputable compounding pharmacy that has some experience in compounding LDN. There are certain pharmacies that know which, you know, binders and fillers make the most sense with it and seem to be the best tolerated, and they just have a lot more experience working with patients that are taking it. And, you know, it's a good idea to refer your physician to one of those. Skip's Pharmacy in Florida, I think it's SKIPZ, is the one that comes to mind that's been doing it for the longest period of time. And so you can look them up on the web. There's also a list of recommended pharmacies on the ldninfo.org site, which you can make your doctor aware of.
I got a question. Have you seen in your patient population that, for instance, someone settles on 3 milligrams, do they ever need to change that? Like, does the effect wear down over time, or do life circumstances sometimes mean that you could get more sensitive or less sensitive to it?
Great question. I think my sort of take would be is usually like, let's use any treatment, whether it's a supplement or a medication for a therapeutic purpose, you know, to reach a therapeutic goal. And once we reach that goal, I'm always trying, you know, interested in seeing if we can get people off of stuff. So maybe if, you know, once the immune system comes back into balance and the patient's symptom-free, like we've talked about before, the concept of tolerance, you're an engineer, Steve, you told me about it, but it's easier to maintain something within tolerance, you know, that's already where it should be than it is to get it back there in the first place. So, you know, a patient may want to stop taking LDN or titrate off of it after a while to just test to see if they can maintain the improvement that they've gained from it. On the other hand, if somebody has a condition like Graves' disease, where, you know, there's a real risk of like going into a hyperthyroid storm and stroking out, or, you know, and that's been historically an issue for them, and LDN is just completely managing it and without any other medication, you know, if you're going to weigh that against like taking PTU or methimazole or, you know, pretty toxic medications that are often needed for Graves or even, you know, more invasive, like a surgery to remove the thyroid or do radioactively ablate the thyroid gland, and you're weighing those against just staying on LDN, you know, of course you have to talk to your doctor about these questions, but my take on that would be, you know, if it were me as a patient, I would rather take LDN on an ongoing basis than to face any of those outcomes. So it just depends on the person. And the dose can fluctuate depending, of course, on the background level of immune dysregulation. So if someone is gluten intolerant and they don't know it and they're eating gluten and they're taking LDN and they need like the full 4.5 milligram dose because they're kind of like got their foot on the accelerator and the brake at the same time. But then they take gluten out of their diet and maybe 4.5 milligrams is unnecessary or even starts causing some side effects. So that's possible.
One more question. In previous shows and potentially in writings, I'm not sure where I remember you mentioning this, but you've said sort of like commit to a time frame for LDN because not everybody shows sort of symptom reduction or lab test reduction at a specific point in time after starting taking it. So what's your current thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's the same. I mean, it's really interesting. Some people, like the next day after they start, they feel like a different person. And then other people, it can take 3 months for them to really feel a significant difference. And we don't really understand why that is yet. And interestingly enough, it doesn't necessarily correspond to how sick they are or, you know, how long they've been sick. You know, I've seen it where people have been, you know, really kind of in bad shape and they respond immediately. And other people who've not, you know, have it, their condition was a lot more benign or mild and they didn't have an immediate response. So I don't know about that, but I do know that that's, you know, it's common. So I would say probably give it 3 months before you let it go if you're going to try it. Couple other things to consider is that because LDN blocks the opioid receptors, some pain narcotic drugs like Percocet or morphine, Tramadol, LDN can decrease their effectiveness so that typically they shouldn't be taken together. And patients with Graves or Hashimoto's that are taking thyroid meds should be careful because one thing we've seen happen is if someone takes LDN, and their thyroid function improves, then the dose of medication they were on that was maintaining equilibrium before all of a sudden becomes too high. And that person can go into kind of like a hyperthyroid, you know, episode or start feeling, you know, heat or not sleeping well or all of those typical symptoms. So your doctor, you know, should mention this to you when they prescribe it. But that's something to be aware of and to talk about with your doctor if you're on a thyroid medication, to like be ready to reduce the dose if your thyroid function starts to improve. You know, a question that often comes up is, okay, are there some natural alternatives to LDN that achieve the same purpose of reducing central nervous system inflammation and promoting T regulatory cell function? So definitely there are things that do both of those things, you know, achieve both of those goals. In some cases, they can, especially when you put them together, they can do just as good of a job as LDN. But in other cases, I've seen LDN just be more effective, even when someone's done all of these other things. But for Treg cell function, vitamin D is a powerful T regulatory cell promoter, as is glutathione. So those are definitely should be in the repertoire. Maintaining adequate levels of selenium and zinc and iodine, important for immune function. Probiotics, especially bacillus species like soil-based organisms, promote Treg cell function. Butyrate, which is a short-chain fatty acid that's produced by beneficial bacteria in the colon, improves Treg cell function. So prebiotics can actually do that indirectly. Vitamin A is important for immune balance, so, you know, cod liver oil. And then for inflammation, we've got things like curcumin, boswellia, those are COX inhibitors, selective kinase response modulators, fish oil or EPA and DHA from cold water fish, of course, and then diet, obviously, you know, whether we're talking about just a general overall anti-inflammatory paleo-ish type of diet, or whether you're taking the next step and doing an autoimmune protocol type of diet, those can be important as well.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like a pretty good round out there. Seems like if people wanted to try those things, I've seen a lot of people try those things and not get success, and then, you know, get on LDN, and through LDN and some of those supplements together, like, really have a brand new life.
Yeah, it can be pretty dramatic. And of course, you know, I don't want to create any false, hope or unrealistic expectations for people. But for some, it has definitely been life changing. And, you know, I have patients who had been on, you know, those thyrotoxic drugs for 20 years or more, 25 years. One patient comes to mind who had Graves and had been on PTU for 20 years and was able to get off PTU completely and all other medications and just take LDN and felt, you know, feel better than she's ever felt it during that period and maintain completely normal thyroid numbers. So it can be pretty dramatic. I have to say though, that we have had patients who've taken it and experienced nothing at all. So, you know, it's not a miracle, of course, no treatment, is, but it helps a lot of people, and it does it pretty affordably and without causing a lot of side effects or complications or risks. And that's a pretty good combination.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. Well, if listeners would like their question answered, make sure to go to chriskresser.com/podcast question to submit your questions. Chris and his team are always taking those in and trying to pull the most relevant topics that haven't already been covered. So if you have submitted questions and you're wondering, why, guys, haven't we talked about my question? Make sure you listen to the rest of our episodes, because there's quite a treasure trove of information that we've covered over, what, like 4 or 5 years now?
Yeah, 4 or 5 years, somewhere in there. I should know, but something like that.
Awesome. Yeah. And in between episodes, if you're not following Chris on social media, this is where you can get updates on the latest, articles he's reading, different things that he's pulled from around the web. So go to facebook.com/ChrisKresser, LAC, and twitter.com/ChrisKresser. Thanks for listening.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Talk to you next time.